Blog Talk Radio.
Like to welcome everyone to this special emergency episode of Blog Talk Radio's The Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen. Over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing?
Can't complain. Looks like prognostications, forecasts are pretty much on point. I understand we have Doug Mann as a guest in light of this breaking story. Channel 9 reporting on breaking news about an hour ago. Apparently the state and the Sports Facility Authority has run into some problems with our beloved People's Stadium. So why don't you get Mr. Mann fully engaged and see what he can share with us or what he wants to share with us. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, we have as our special guest tonight on today's emergency program, Mr. Doug Mann. Not only is he a school board candidate for Minneapolis Public Schools, but he is also the one causing a lot of trouble for them downtown Minneapolis around the Viking Stadium. The stadium's bond sale delay was due to a lawsuit that Mr. Mann was a part of. Mr. Mann, welcome to the program.
Always a pleasure to talk to you and Ron Edwards.
Yes. So tell us what's happening. What's going on? Give us an update.
On Thursday, I filed an appeal of a district court decision that we're not going to talk about here extensively about the approval of expenditures on the stadium without a referendum. On Friday, I filed a lawsuit to stop the sale of bonds based on the allegation that the use of Minneapolis sales tax money to pay for the debt service on state issues bonds is unconstitutional.
Okay.
So basically the object of this lawsuit is to get the people of Minneapolis off the hook for at least $150 million plus interest.
Wow.
And maybe the whole $800 million in obligations.
So $800 million in obligations. Now, would this have been gone, this particular the process, how much did the Charter Commission have to do with this by just pushing it through without the vote of the citizens? Do you know that?
I don't think they were involved with it. I think the city
Charter
Council
Commission was not involved, Don. It
okay,
was totally
okay.
The city council and the mayor. In
okay.
fact, that was one of the issues, I think, raised by Mr. Mann early on over a year ago. Charter Commission was just totally cast to the side, thrown under the bus. Doug, give us a little bit more of a background. I mean, you filed a lawsuit, and it caused the Commissioner of Finance, on the advice, an opinion offered by the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. I mean, let's get to the heart of what's happened here in Minnesota on this. The Attorney General advised the Commissioner of Finance, based on federal law, that he had no choice but to cancel the sale of the $497 million in bonds that was supposed to take place tomorrow and Tuesday in New York City. What happens now, Doug? I mean, the courts, you have filed in the courts. The courts must make a determination if, in fact, your lawsuit is not frivolous, if you will. So where are you at on this? I mean, so what's going to happen?
Well, I filed a petition for a writ of prohibition. This is an extraordinary writ that can be dismissed on first review. So if the Minnesota Supreme Court reviews it, they could make a decision within a matter of days. If they rule against me, the bond sales could happen next week. If they order the exchange of briefs and perhaps a hearing, then things could take longer. I've heard from reporters who've interviewed me that the stadium authority is concerned about The legal process being dragged out, the apparently the Attorney General thinks that this is a sufficient threat that they're, you know, talking about trying to get the Supreme Court to expedite this. So it sounds like they're taking this pretty seriously, and they're worried that there's going to be a full hearing on this thing.
As I assume you and your supporters figure and feel that it should be. Now, the other problem that has now emerged is that there is a second lawsuit that is being considered for appeal, and that is, I'll identify them as the Cohen Group, who filed an action based on development and other things pertaining to the stadium, which could be extremely disruptive. But right now, yours is the lawsuit that's in the catbird seat because it is at least temporarily holding up the sale of bonds of a entity, specifically the Sports Authority facility, who is actually broke. Would you not agree, based on the statements by Calum Hagelin this evening, that they have $28 million in obligations that they have to pay by the end of the month? They don't have any money. do you concur with that? Do you agree with the statement I just made?
Yes, I've heard the same information from other sources. Yeah,
that they're technically broke. They have gone through basically $74 million in monies, if you will, $50 million of it, which is the Minnesota Vikings, $24 million, which was turned over to them by legislative mandate as an outgrowth of monies carried over from the construction of the Twins baseball stadium. That's $74 million they've gone through since June of 2012, $74 million. Their director of equity, a man by the name of Alex Tittle, was quoted in the Minneapolis Star Tribune 3 days ago as indicating that they have given out $120 million in contracts. I wonder how they're going to meet those obligations, because there's really no revenue coming in. If you're successful in even having or causing the Supreme Court to say that there has to be a hearing on this, on the merits, then the Sports Facility Authority is broke. They don't have it. In fact, they technically should not have any money, Mr. Allen, to even pay their own personal salaries.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
They are not a revenue-generating organization, from what I understand.
Is that your understanding, Mr. Mann?
I don't really know about their, I don't really know much about that subject.
Okay,
actually.
Okay, all right, okay. How strongly do you feel, how confident are you, sir, that the Supreme Court at least may see the wisdom and the legal and judicial importance of at least allowing you your day in court relevant to a hearing on the merits? How comfortable are you at this hour?
Well, I think there's a fairly good chance, and I think the Attorney General is considering the possibility that this is going to go to a hearing.
Okay. Now, on that particular point, and I assume you are, legally ready, are you going to argue pro se the issues and the merits of your contentions? Will you be arguing that, or will you retain legal counsel to do that?
I'll be going forward pro se unless a miracle happens and, I kind of get the necessary support. Maybe a lawyer comes forward who knows how to do something like this. But I'm expecting to go pro se, and I have two other petitioners, my wife Linda Mann and David Tilson. And
now, is Mr. Tilson an attorney at law?
No, they're both pro se. They're also pro se.
Okay. So would you then be prepared if the Supreme Court was to indicate that they would hear oral arguments? The court can do it, three ways, if you will. But if they say they're prepared to have both written briefs and or hear oral arguments, are you prepared to stand before the state Supreme Court and argue the merits of your issues and your case? I mean, this seems to be very, very important to the citizens and the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota. So, we're obligated here to ask you that question. Are you prepared to argue the merits of this case before the Minnesota State Supreme Court? yourself? Well, that's putting you on the spot. But are you prepared to argue? Are you prepared to go into court, the court of equity?
I'm prepared to go into court to argue. You know, how well I argue is to be seen. My wife and David Tilson will also likely appear in court. You know, if there's a hearing and oral arguments, and I think David Tilson is very good on his feet.
Okay, you think so? But though he has no legal experience, he is not a legal practitioner.
That is correct.
Okay.
He is a son of Ken Tilson, has a lot of legal contacts and has familiarized himself with the law in some areas.
Okay. So. Okay. All right. So, when will you know what it is you need to know, Mr. Mann, as it pertains to the procedural determination of the state Supreme Court on how this matter will be handled? When do you figure that you'll know? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
I would expect I'll get word from them sometime this week anyway.
Okay. All right then. Okay. Don, you have any additional questions for Mr. Mann?
Actually, no, I don't. I appreciate him being on with us because we need to go ahead and examine this further.
Yes, we do. Mr. Mann, I want to thank you for taking time to call us and update, particularly as you pointed out, the taxpayers of the city of Minneapolis who, through your action and the action of other plaintiffs, if you will, may very well save them $150 million in financial burden and $600 or $800 million over the next 30 years. We appreciate it. Appreciate it. Anything else you want to say, sir?
I'll leave it at that. If you want to get in touch with me again before the end of the show, if you have any questions or
Mr. Allen has your number. Certainly, we'll do that, Mr. Mann. Thank you and appreciate it, sir. And the best of luck. And the best of luck.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
All right then. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Don, give that phone number. Phone lines are open. If there are any in our beloved enclave metro who wish to express their observations. I think that it is a tremendous action by a citizen. This gives you a greater appreciation of citizen participation, if you will, because he clearly will be required if the Supreme Court decides to hear this. And I think that it's such a serious constitutional question because it deals with the violation of the governing instrument for the city of Minneapolis, and that is the city's own charter and the refusal by elected officials, including a mayor who, really decided he couldn't run again after he kind of told the citizens to kiss off. The opportunity to argue this and to cause the state of Minnesota and the city of Minneapolis and of course, the Vikings, who certainly cannot be happy with this, to have to respond to his petition. So let's get that number out there. Phone lines will be open.
Full lines are wide open at 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. You know, Mr. Edwards, in the latest story posted today at 6:32 p.m. By the Star Tribune, court action throws wrench into Viking Stadium construction. Michelle Kelm-Hagelin, the chairwoman of the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority, is quoted as saying, "Major problems will result from any significant delay." I said, uh-oh.
Well, she's correct on that, Mr. And that was posted just about 14 minutes ago?
Yes, sir. At 6. Well,
yeah, okay. From our Minneapolis Star Tribune, who has a conflict of interest themselves they are a prospective seller slash and developer of the surrounding area, not necessarily the stadium, but in anticipation of a significant economic surge. Wells Fargo has to be very uncomfortable because any delay on the presence of a stadium on that site is not a very attractive proposition to investors in the Wells Fargo and Ryan construction dream. I had a dream kind of thing. Isn't that interesting? All this is happening during Martin Luther King Month. I had a dream.
And in that same story, Mr. Edwards, Governor Mark Dayton said he supported concerns expressed by Kelm-Hagelin. He added in an email, "You need to listen to this because you just mentioned this. I hope this matter can be quickly resolved to prevent severe damage to the project's financing and the loss of many important jobs. Kelm Hagen said that her agency has $14 million left from the $15 million put up for stadium work by the Vikings. The state agreed to provide the next $50 million by selling bonds. She said the bonds are needed by January 23rd because her agency needs $17 million that day to close on the purchase for the transit transit station block west of the Dome. Now, you talked about Wells Fargo. It says that deal needs to be done so Ryan Companies can sign a development agreement with Minneapolis the next day for Wells Fargo office towers and parks. Boom.
Now, if I could, Mr. Allen, in or around the 3rd or 4th of December of the year of our Lord, 2013, the Star Tribune positioned a story on behalf of Ryan and Wells Fargo that said that the lawsuit brought by the Cohen Group, which is different than Mr. Mann and his associates, that the court needed to decide and to dismiss the charges or the allegations brought by the 27th of December. Now, the 27th came and went, and no such determination per se was made, and there are appeal options now available to the Cohen Group. I find what you're reading to us from the 6:32 p.m. Sunday update from the Minneapolis Star Tribune be very interesting, because the citizens of our city were being told that everything was clear, everything was taken care of, there was
exactly
no more areas of contention, if you will, and et cetera. And now we have Mr. Mann and at least two other individuals who have certainly gotten the attention and have caused the Supreme Court of the state of Minnesota to pay attention to the contentions, the legal contentions that are being made by Mr. Mann. We refer to them as the Mann Group. And this coming on the heels of the contention by the Cohen Group. And the fact that earlier today, in a copyrighted story, if you will, Kelm Hagelin indicated that there's $28 million in obligations that have to be paid by the end of this month. Is that in the 6:32 update or supplement?
I'm going to go back to that right now. I just was I was searching for the story where the Star Tribune had written that everything was peachy keen and we're going on. It says, we will be short $28 million if we are not able to pay our bills without the bond process at the end of the month. This is per Chairwoman Michelle Kelm Hagelin.
As I just stated, that declaration was made around noon this afternoon. Mr. Mann said something interesting, that he filed these motions on Thursday and particularly Friday, and yet isn't it peculiar that the media, the majority, you know, fourth estate, did not decide to make the taxpayers of the city of Minneapolis aware until midday Sunday that this catastrophe had taken place? Because I want to go back over this. You know, I know Mr. Mann is limited on what he wants to talk about as he prepares his legal strategy. The Commissioner of Finance was being encouraged to go ahead and authorize the issuance of the bonds tomorrow and Tuesday. But the Attorney General, picking up on it, had enough sense and enough research ability to indicate that there are stiff federal legal consequences if the state of Minnesota would have went ahead tomorrow and attempted to issue these bonds with litigation pending. That's a felony. You could get indicted. You wind up going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite clear that they wanted the Commissioner of Finance first and then the Attorney General of this state to some way or another circumvent, cover up, be blinded to the lawsuit filed by the Mann Group on actions on both Thursday and Friday. Boy, we were pretty close to some serious, Bridgegate, like we got out there with Governor Christie in New Jersey. Don't you think so, Doc?
I think we're really close. And Mr. Edwards, you know, on November 19th, they talked about the construction budget being $737 million, according to the Star Tribune's copyrighted story by Janet Moore. And they said the bids had come in $20 million or $30 million higher than expected. So this is really going to throw a wrench in their game on what they're planning on doing here with between Mortensen, the Vikings, and the MSFA down there at the
Mexico. Well, let me also, for our audience, because the phone lines are open, but the people are probably still in a state of shock because this information has been so suppressed here, even though actions have been filed in the state district court. Right now, technically, if they can't get the Supreme Court to deny Mr. Mann's motion filed on Friday, the Vikings are right now owed $50 million.
Yes.
Based on legislative language that I've talked about and that we've talked about on this program, there was $50 million that the city and the Sports Facility Authority, primarily the state, according to what they said, was supposed to and committed by legislative act, by law, to have had in the construction fund. And I refer individuals to Section 19, lines 20, 21, 32, all the way through through 22, 22. These are by lines. I'm really concerned for the state of Minnesota and for the Sports Facility Authority. And all of these contracts are out, including some small contracts for African-American or minority hiring. You remember those? We don't talk about that anymore, right? No wonder there's been no payout.
And it looks like we have a caller, Mr. Edwards.
Let's get the caller. Let's get the caller.
Mm-hmm. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Just in the queue.
Thank you.
Just in the queue. Okay, just in the queue. Specifically, Mr. Allen, under sub 2, talks about NFL team and private contributions and et cetera, timing of expenditures and et cetera. I mean, the language under 473J.15, criteria and conditions, now that's the man's language, right? That's the language the man put on us all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is explicit. It is explicit that the Vikings had to come up, by the way, they didn't do it with no money orders, et cetera. They had to come up with $50 million cash money. $50 million cash money. Now, the Vikings put that $50 million cash money in an account here in the Twin Cities in July of 2012, Mr. Allen. At the same time, $24 million that was left over from the Twin Stadium was also put in that account for a total of $74 million, right?
Yes.
Now, the Sports Facility Authority and its five-member board have been enjoying an excellent life of quality and et cetera, okay? They've been spending a lot of money. They've been enjoying themselves. They've been feeding their friends and et cetera, okay? A lot of dining and stuff going on, a lot of travel, you know. I mean, Michelle went out to New York to meet with the commissioner and et cetera. They entertained themselves there in New York City before she had to fly back to be prepared for a Friday morning meeting here in the Twin Cities. I mean, they have been living good off that $74 million. Now, you said that the 632 supplement update says that they still have, what was it, $14 million left out of the $74 million?
Yeah, well, they're not even talking about $74 million, Mr. Edwards. They're talking about $50 million, that they have $14 million left from the $50 million put up for work by the stadium.
Oh, but see there, that's jaundice because it was $74 million. I refer you to a number of columns that we wrote, as well as the minutes of the Sports Facility Authority in the summer of 2012. See, that's a level of dishonesty that man raises serious questions about Mr. Mondale's role and et cetera, you know, a good friend of Mr. Petters and et cetera. It was $74 million. In fact, I tell you what, and State Senator Champion, who is the co-chair of the so-called Powerful Commission, is well aware of this because he and others made sure, absolutely sure, that the $24 million was turned over to the newly created Sports Facility Authority in legislation written in March of 2012. So the number is actually $74 million, not $50 million, Mr. Allen. You know, you understand what I'm saying to you?
I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I am actually pulling up a piece here. I hope they're not blogging and stuff now. I'm trying to pull up this piece. Dayton working on new Viking Stadium Funday. This is May 9th, 2013.
Yes,
so
sir.
The state is on the hook for $348 million of the new Viking Stadium, and it came up.
City of Minneapolis, $150 million.
Yes. Senator, let me go back to where it says Senator Bobby Joe. Just a second here. We have actually Bobby Joe, Senator Bobby Joe, and Minneapolis Delver, who serves on the Legislative Commission overseeing the same issue, said he was not aware of Dayton's new funding plan.
That's in tomorrow morning's edition of our paper.
No, this was in the issue. Let me just go back here again because we keep – there we go. This was copyright May 9th, 2013.
The co-chair of the powerful legislative commission that is the final, quote-unquote, authority and monitor, the co-chair, our own beloved Senator Bobby Joe Champion, said he didn't know – you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding.
Yes, he said he didn't know. He says, we are committed to reviewing every step from review to design. We always keep looking at funding and make sure everything is on par and moving in the right direction, Champion said. So, and then Republicans sued Senator Julie Rosen, who also serves on the Stadium Commission, said she was not aware of the new funding plan either. So there's some interesting things going on. There's some I's not being dotted and some T's not being crossed when it comes to the Vikings Stadium and the funding, because, I mean, that was earlier this year, but, you know, still, we're still expecting a report to come out here shortly.
Not this year. Let's just correct ourselves, because we all do this. Last year. We're now in 2014.
Yeah, that's right. And so, I mean, we're going to have to get to the bottom of this, and I'm hoping that Mr. Man, the man, team man, gets this information out to the general public, because it looks like there's a little tomfoolery going on, Mr. Edwards.
Well, it definitely has to be, because I thought I heard you correctly, and I checked here in our personal studio, and when you said out of $50 million, I'm like, no, that's not correct. It's $74 million because it's the $24 million that was ordered turned over to the Sports Facility Authority, which is in addition to the $50 million from the ballpark facility, if you will, which was the Twin Stadium. So it's $74 million that they've basically gone through. What she's basically saying now is that they've spent over $60 million. And I'm trying to get an understanding, Mr. Allen, as I talk to you, and, of course, the telephone lines are wide open. I'm trying to get a feeling on what Mr. Tittle and the authority were talking about in Friday's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune when he said that $120 million in contracts had been awarded. I assume, by the way, that approximately, based on the two-thirds doctrine, that about $31 million has been awarded to minorities and others, right?
Yeah, well, we assume that.
Check your iPad there. Do your math. About $31 million, if you will. If you talk in terms of 18%, because the stated goal, 6% women, 6% people of color, 12% women, that's 18%. So that means that 18% of the $120 million went to women and minorities, right?
According to that, what it says here, several attendees urge authority to closer monitor projects' equity hiring goals, which call for 32% of the workforce to be done by minorities and 6%
by women. Now, that's for the workforce. I mean, I have to cut in, my colleague.
That's for the
workforce. We're talking about contracts, the real juicy action. Okay, where we make sure we give our friends contracts, okay, for everything ranging from putting in the phones to computer systems, you understand, to travel, to the OAP stadium design, which costs between $40 million, and we've not heard the final cost from the Dallas, Texas firm, by the way. That wasn't done, just like they got to pay for the steel. Oh, you know what, Darren? That's one of the things they got to pay for. They got to pay for that foreign steel that they just bought.
Oh yes, not made in America. Definitely not
made in Luxembourg by a firm out of India. So, give me a phone number again. I mean, lines are open. You know, folks are always talking here in town about what they think. We don't know. Phone lines are open.
Yes, that number is 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. And, you know, the Q&A section they had last week, January 10th, ended with a few questions. But what you're saying in detail, Mr. Edwards, that it was quoted that Mr. Tittle said, to date, more than $120 million worth of contracts have been awarded for the project, which is expected to employ 7,500 workers in various phases. And so
that's absolutely correct.
Yes. And so, I mean, I hope they, you know, the people that were down there questioning Mr. Tittle and the MSFA and Mortensen, and hopefully walked away with the documentation.
Well, let me say this, Mr. Allen. The Star Tribune failed to mention that both the very politically astute and powerful Louis King, head of OIC, was present and was one of the presenters, as well as Commissioner Kevin Lindsay. They were presenters on behalf of the Sports Facility Authority. See, there was a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And both Dr. King and Lindsay were actual presenters. Okay?
Wow. Well, you know what they say, Mr. Edwards? The best social service program is a job.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You and others didn't know that they had been put on the agenda?
No, that I had no idea. I didn't know. No one called me and gave me a heads up, and so I didn't know that they were on the agenda. I had no idea that Kevin 32% Lindsay, Commissioner, would be down there, or nor did I know that Louis Pell Grant King was going to be down there either doing his thing.
Well, let me tell you what sources are saying to us in this studio. The Star Tribune intentionally omitted their presence as well as their role in being a part of, along with Miss Littlejohn and Mr. Wood, the president, executive officer of the powerful M.A. Mortensen, Miss Littlejohn, the director of community service. The Star Tribune made an arrangement to make sure that their names were not identified in order to stay away from making folks aware of the fact that equity was discussed. And it was at that particular point that Mr. Tuttle, my good friend Mr. Tuttle, made the declaration that they had met all of their goals. Now, I'm puzzled by the $120 million because the employment thing, you know, at this point there's only 300 or 400 people working. I'm just trying to wonder, in light of what Mr. Mann has caused to have happen, how you could have awarded $120 million in contracts and you don't have $120 million. Mr. Allen, see, that's what's not being said. I was hoping the phone lines would generate that. You've awarded $120 million in contracts. You said it early on when we had Mr. Mann on. The stadium does not begin to be a revenue-producing entity until around 2016 when the Vikings start paying $8 million for the games, and there's $1.5 million that has to come in annually and with inflation and et cetera. I need you. I'm going to do this to you, Mr. Allen. You are my conservative opposite. How do you award $120 million in contracts and you only have $74 million to play with? Were you anticipating that you were going to get these bonds done and not have a problem?
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure, that big spending, that fiscal irresponsibility continues. You can almost, pose it on the curve of stuff by its window. Because you're not, you're writing, well, Martin Luther King talked about that, writing blank checks that have insufficient funds, this is exactly, Martin Luther King month is exactly kind of what the MSFA is doing with these individuals, these contractors. If you only got, well, Mr. Edwards, let's look at it like this. Let's use their numbers for a moment. Hypothetical. No, not even hypothetical. Factual. They said $50 million, and all they have is $14 million left. And so now
let me God dang, you're absolutely correct. Let me do this for our listening audience. This is at subsection 8, and specifically subsection 13 of the conditions as it pertains to reporting. This is under powers, duties of the authority, and the authority being the Sports Facility Authority. It's at 473J.09. Powers, duties of the authority. Boy, we as black people sure understand. We have a significant anniversary coming up, the second report. Let me read the specific language.
Okay.
Legislative report, because, I don't want nobody to say we're picking on Senator Hayden. The authority must report to the chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative committee with jurisdiction over state government finances by January 15th of each year on the following. Okay. And it talks in terms of recommended increases. It talks in terms of debt of the authority. Would you not concur, Mr. Allen, that the authority at this very hour has a significant debt of a minimum of $28 million, if not more? Would you not agree with that, sir?
I have to concur with your assessment of the situation at this point. Yes, sir.
My assessment goes further. At sub 13, at line 14-15, is the Pacific language, which talks in terms of reporting debt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Allen, I'm going to make you a bet. I'm going to make you a duck dinner bet. I like duck.
Okay.
I like pink bean duck.
Okay.
I bet you that the report, which has already been printed, exclusive here with Donnie and Ronnie, that the report which has already been printed and delivered to the legislature, I bet you there's no discussion in there about debt.
Mm.
Think about it, my friend. I bet you a Peking duck dinner that there is nothing in there about debt. It would be the intention of the legislative commission to receive the report and do like they did last year, receive and file. But you see, last year, January 15th of 2013, the year of our Lord, they were still playing around with 35 or 40 million. They don't have a penny, man. They broke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I ask you again, my colleague, would you not expect and require our legislative protectors to demand that there be a full review, just like they're doing with respect to Christie Gate out there in New Jersey? Don't you think that this coming week that the Sports Facility Authority, their attorneys, Dorsey, Whitney, them, don't you think they should be prepared to give public testimony unless the Supreme Court comes to their aid and throws out Mr. Mann's petition? Don't you think that they should be required to report why there is now $28 million in debt?
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. There needs to be agreement. Well, you know, Mr. Edwards, let me get to the top here so we can give it the correct name since we're looking at documentation. I'm looking at the professional services agreement between the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority, a public body, and Summit Academy, OIC, a Minnesota nonprofit corporation. And I am wondering how this is going to affect the $700,000 to $800,000 to create jobs, since the principal contact and the individual, the contractor's principal in charge of this agreement shall be Lewis King, and he shall materially participate in the performance of the required services. And I don't know if this is even going to work.
Mr. Allen, let me cut in, my colleague. They can go back on any time they want on demand, because all of these blog radio programs are on demand. They can go back for as long as we've been on. That's the reason I was saying to you, sir, that was all bogus. Because they didn't have the money to pay them. They don't have the money to pay them. There is no $700,000 outlay. That's why the Northwest Area Foundation stepped into the breach and made a grant of
$500,000. Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The Sports Facility Authority at this hour, unless they, but God help them, that the Minnesota State Supreme Court pull them out of the hot fires, if you will, as early as Tuesday or Wednesday, and denies Mr. Mann's petition, because the Sports Facility Authority is broke. They're $28 million in debt right now. Technically, it's $78 million because they have paid no money. And I repeat again, sir, the construction fund. They have paid no money. They have breached their contractual agreement to the legislative demand by not putting the $50 million into the construction account as required by the legislation.
Wow. Wow. That's out of this world. I'm actually looking for this award. I have an email here, Mr. Edwards, that I am trying to track down regarding the – here we go. Here we go. Yeah, I'm still looking for this because I wanted to get the details of this. Let me just find this thing because it's very interesting.
Well, what specifically is it, Mr. Allen? Maybe we can help from studio here.
It was the $500,000 award to
from
Summit
the
Northwest
Area Foundation
poverty reduction
to fight poverty.
Yes, to fight, to go out there and just beat it up real good.
Yeah,
I am actually trying to find that. And I don't see it here right away, but it's very interesting that the North – here we go. Boom, perfect. It was the Northwest Area Foundation, as you already said, in their fourth quarter grant 2013, who released $4,635,000 in grants going to a variety of folks, including the Minneapolis Foundation, MEDA, Minneapolis Metropolitan Economic Development Association, Opportunity Link, the Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors, the St. Paul Foundation, Summit Academy of Minneapolis will receive $500,000 for expansion of adult education program and poverty reduction pilot of the Northside Community Response Team.
Yeah.
Here we go back into the tornado stuff. Summit Academy RIC trains increased people of color, women, veterans for career high demand. Okay, great. The funding will support increase from enrollment to 600 students in 2013 to 1,000 students annually in 2016 and support their leadership in reducing poverty. See, just if we get to the genesis of this, I don't understand how you can reduce poverty by perpetuating it by giving it to an agency. I know you can reduce poverty by distributing $500,000 to poor people. I mean, that's going
to
be the easiest way. Putting them to work and giving
them
some money. Yeah.
Yeah,
So I'm not really, as my conservative positioning goes, I'm not really too keen on this special interest stuff going in there and doing that. So,
well, I think that it just raises a series of serious questions, because the community at one point was being told that 700,000 to 800,000, the 800,000 number came in when Mortensen, on the occasion of the great celebration down there about 6 months ago, indicated it was going to kick in $100,000 to the so-called colored training program. Okay, they really never did that. But more importantly, the group of 15, as I called it, never got the $700,000. If they did, then that was a part of the $120 million in contracts, and I'm just wondering why the Sports Facility Authority made those kinds of financial and fiduciary commitments, and they didn't have the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, they've never had any more than $74 million in their bank account, and yet they awarded $120 million worth of contracts?
Yeah, but
I mean, I don't understand what kind of fiscal and fiduciary management that is. I mean, I'm just not understanding. Because for the listening audience out there, no matter what you may think of the program and et cetera, you are on the hook to pay it. And
yes,
what better time than the legislature is convening and is already convened?
Yes, exactly.
It will be the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota. You know, they should be thankful that Mr. Mann, the Mann Group, and the Cohen Group decided to at least constitutionally challenge, because the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, and particularly the city of Minneapolis, boy, get ready for your property taxes to be raised, Minnesotans, Minneapolitans, because you award $120 million worth of contracts, and the highest amount of reserves that you've ever had is $74 million. I'm not understanding the math here, Mr. Allen. Can you help me? You're a conservative, you know. Can you help me understand why that was done?
I'm befuddled. To tell you the truth, Mr. Edwards, I am befuddled. And again, our phone lines are open, 347-426-3904. You know, you give us a call if someone can explain it out there, because I know some folks are listening. They're listening closely. And you know, it won't be too harsh for you, but we sure like to, you know, if you have an explanation on why these things are happening or what the procedure is, please give us a call, 347-426-3904. We have about 16 minutes left in the show, and we would be glad to give you
let me do it again. The Pacific language that Senator Champion and Hayden and all the rest of them over there in the legislature, it said, prior to the first issuance, get this now, Mr. Allen, prior to the first issuance of bonds under Section 16A, 695, the first portion of the NFL team private contribution in the amount of $50 million must be deposited as cost. Get this, Mr. Allen, be deposited as cost or incurred to the construction fund to pay for the initial stadium costs. Well, they've already spent all their money. They don't have any money to pay these crews that were taking the seats up and digging up dirt. They don't have the money to pay them. I question if there is $14 million left.
Yes.
I think the Sports Facility Authority is insolvent. Now, luckily for them, it's not the summer of 2013 or 2014, so they can tiptoe over to the legislature, working with the commission under the leadership of the senators and state representatives, and probably cut a deal, probably with Wells Fargo, and have an emergency infusion of probably they got to have an infusion of about $50 million. Because they've got $28 million in bills and obligations that they have to pay. You got a call?
Yeah, it looks like we have a caller. I'm not sure about this. Mr. Edwards, why don't you go ahead and talk, because I'm getting texts and I need to go back in the studio.
Oh, I bet you are. I bet there's a lot of texts going on.
So I'm going to go back in the never mind.
Go ahead. You take care of what's happening in your studio. I'll kind of segue through it.
Okay.
Going back to what we are faced with, Alex Tittle, in Friday's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, to our listening audience across the country, made a statement that they had met all of their goals, particularly with equity and awarding contracts and et cetera, to people of color and to African Americans and Native Americans and Somalis and all of that. And he quoted a figure of $120 million in contracts that had been awarded. That means that the Sports Facility Authority was going to pay out $120 million for work that's already either been done by services and et cetera and et cetera. Now, my question to my colleague, Mr. Allen, was that I'm absolutely confused when at no point in time did the Sports Facility Authority / the state of Minnesota and the city of Minneapolis ever have any more than $74 million at their legal command, if you will. My question is, why are we a part of such irresponsible fiduciary responsibility? Why would you award $120 million in contracts and you only had $74 million at its peak in your bank account? Now you say you're down to $14 million. I question that as a longtime observer that there is $14 million at hand. I maintain there's probably zero, if you will. And I've just read to you, as our listening audience, the specific language in the Minnesota legislation that created, quote-unquote, this Taj Mahal, which indicated, see, the Vikings, no matter how bad they talked about Ziggy Wilf and his family and et cetera, the Vikings in July of 2012 put $50 million cash money into a bank account, probably First Bank or Wells Fargo, $50 million cash. You can do a lot with cash money. You get by with a lot of things that normally you wouldn't have as pertains to credit. Get the call. We always get the call. Caller, what's your question? What's your observation?
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how y'all doing this? Doing this Sunday evening?
Yes, sir. We're doing fine, my brother. We're doing fine. We're just trying to figure out how to count.
Well, you know, I don't think it's a problem with y'all mathematics. It's a problem with the people, the powers that be. Before I comment on the Derek Griffin situation, I want to ask, have we elected another mayor that is not going to hold anyone's feet to the fire? Again, number one, the fact that minorities are not being hired, especially fast enough, and the simple fact, as you keep mentioning, the fact that there's no accountability for this monies, and why hasn't she yet spoken up about anything concerning this new stadium?
Those are excellent questions, sir. Ms. Nelson, I think those are excellent questions that her administration, her spokesperson, she's got her core staff, in place, if you will. They're absolutely qualified. I think that basically all of her staff is white. Oops. And so her staff is in place, and I think those are questions that she should be asking. I think the city council, which was sworn in a couple of days ago, needs to be asking those same questions, because right now they're on the hook for $150 million of taxpayer dollars and money, $150 million We're not even talking about what it'll be over the next 30 years, which will be in, almost in excess of $870 million. We're just talking about right now today. Now, I just read to you and our listening audience the Pacific language, which indicates that the initial $50 million had to be augmented by another $50 million in order to pay off the obligations. They've got people working down there right now. They've got a contract with a firm to come in and do some of the land work, and then they've got another contract with the folks to bring in the temporary workers to take out those 65,000 seats. They've got to deflate the roof by the end of this month, according to their schedule, and begin
right.
demolition and then begin new construction on each section of demolition. My brother, they don't have the money. Man, if the Supreme Court of the state of Minnesota doesn't cut a deal and say that the law is not important, oops, and lets them get away with this, they are in a terrible situation. And by the way,
well,
it also opens the door for the Vikings to walk away.
I'm not a bit surprised that city council yet hasn't tackled it. I mean, Bob Johnson is the president, and we know how she likes to go along to get along, especially when who knows if her palms aren't being greased as well. I didn't vote for this mayor, and I'm a strong, diehard Democrat, but I didn't vote for this mayor. I don't think that she possesses the backbone to tackle real issues. When you are relying on this new chief to help you eradicate serious crime, you ain't wrapped too tight. So again, it's sad that we've elected a mayor that isn't going to take accountability for all this money that we are on the hook for, and no jobs are being offered to minorities. And again, where are the Spike Mosses and these other somewhat so-called leaders in our communities that aren't raising hell about it?
Mr. Allen, you want to take that? I've got to switch up on the phone. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
I got to take this. You know, here goes the deal, okay? I'm from here, okay? And
right.
I've watched these people. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with what you're saying, but I've watched certain individuals use white guilt for 40 years here to get things
right.
done. I've never seen an organization, well, two organizations I've seen, but as far as some of the individuals you mentioned and some of the individuals that are out there, I've never seen anybody come to the table with a proposal. I've never seen anybody say, okay, we got to get black people jobs. Yeah, black people need
exactly.
jobs, but they also need education. They also need economic
right.
development, because not everybody is going to work on a stadium. And that's just a two-year
right.
project. How come no one is looking? You know, there's a $90 million project out there in St. Paul for the Senate building. There's some other projects going on here, and no one is talking about, you know, the longevity of the individual, the minority that would like a career. You know, they're running down because there's big money right here, right now. We can get a piece of this. You know, that's bull stinky. You know, that it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I'm just saying. I guess my point is that, yeah, okay, maybe the Minnesota Vikings need to, and the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority need a different procedure. But I'm saying also the African American community. I'm not talking about the East Africans. I'm talking about the African Americans, the black.
That's right.
Minnesota. They
That's right.
need a reset plan, a reset in their leadership, because Mr. Nelson. Just tell me if I'm wrong. We shouldn't have waited till this week to talk about hiring black people. When they talked about building a new stadium many years ago, that's when we should have been at the table. You know, then we wouldn't have, you know, we're reactionary.
Well, but Mr. Allen, let me just cut in. But you see, there was discussion, but it was all a sham. And it started over a year ago. Gentlemen, when the Commissioner of Human Rights, Kevin Lindsay, indicated that you know, two-thirds of the workforce was going to be people of color and women. And we said on these programs, that's just not going to happen. It's not logical. It's not legally defensible, and et cetera. We were attacked by some of the same people that are out here, you know, telling Ted Mondale and them to give them a couple dollars, taking them to dinner and stuff like that. Now, you know, Mr. Allen's point then becomes extremely valid. Why now all of this arm twisting? But, gentlemen, I got to tell you, from as a longtime observer and having some inside information, that I'm just afraid we're right on the abyss, okay? I repeat again, Mr. Nelson, Mr. Allen, the Sports Facility Authority, unless the state Supreme Court just breaks the law, totally, absolutely, unequivocally, the Sports Facility Authority is broke. Vikings are not going to come up with any more money. The Vikings, do you realize, gentlemen, that the Vikings is $477 million is all in cash, was required to be in cash, that's been deposited in the bank, but technically it can't be touched.
Mm. And no one has even asked why there has been a lawsuit against it. Again, no accountability. You know, when there are supposed to be black leaders not demanding that the blacks be hired. Again, where are the Somali leaders? Where are the Native American leaders? Where's the Asian? What's the new elected guy to the city council?
There's a Somali and a Mexican and an Asian. Yeah, right.
Why haven't they
seen
publicly where are the jobs for my community? Maybe I should put my money where my mouth is, because it sickens me again that others have gotten elected, and no one wants accountability for the people. It's ridiculous. When you are elected, you are supposed to be doing the will of the people. Well, the will of the people isn't being done.
I think that some of your concerns will be answered by noon tomorrow, because what will happen, first of all, our leaders have to wait until Caucasian journalists give them the information, okay? And so after they read the Caucasian press in the morning or go online and look at the final piece around 11 o'clock, they will say, Lord, have mercy, there's a problem. Okay?
Oh, heaven, man.
Amen. Amen.
Then there will be a series of emergency meetings and et cetera. But it doesn't, gentlemen, with about 3 minutes left, it doesn't make any difference, because if that state Supreme Court decides to follow the rule of law, look out, and decides to allow the Mann Group, and they will probably be joined by other petitioners, gentlemen, we haven't even talked about that. If they allow them to have their day and to come into the court seeking equity with their brief, this project will basically be shut down for 3 to 4 months, and the Vikings will be legally eligible to walk.
Vikings,
you can believe that the Vikings attorneys are on the phone right now with the two groups in California that have been trying to lure them, one in downtown Los Angeles, the other one out there in Inver, in the inland, what is called the inland / Palm Springs. I think it's sad. Brother Nelson, your question, well-crafted and appropriate, but we won't begin to see movement until they read the Caucasian press.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
hopefully.
It's not the gospel until Master tell them.
Yeah. Amen. Well, hopefully they get a good whiff, and they got their eye. Hopefully tomorrow morning they look at the paper with their cheetahs on, so they can see that there's some shenanigans going on, and black folks and minorities ain't been a part of it.
That's right. Brother, we want to thank you. We down to the last minutes. We've got about less than 2 minutes. Brother Nelson, thank you, sir. Mr. Allen,
thank you, guys.
Excellent program. Thank the caller taking the time to call and ask the question. All you can do now is take us home.
Yes, and one more thing, Mr. Edwards, I would like to invite people to take the poll at ourblacknews.com. Will the MSFA and the new stadium be broke? And there's three choices you have there. That's ourblacknews.com. Take that poll. And again, thank you. Thank you very much.
Put your bad stuff.